Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Well, good morning, church. Happy Mother's Day to you. Happy post-Derby Day. That was kind of an exciting race. I don't know if any of you got a chance to watch that. But just to have that such a long shot win the race, that was such an amazing thing. But today we are, as you saw in our video, continuing in our sermon series that we're looking at as known as the Beatitudes. And the Beatitudes is the beginning of Jesus' big Sermon on the Mount. It's kind of an introduction. And in this introduction, he starts laying out the new life, the characteristics of the new life of being blessed in Christ, being blessed in the kingdom. The transformed life begins to look like this. Jesus is all of his sermons, all of his teaching, everything he's about is about helping people to understand the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God look like? How do we become kingdom citizens? What needs to take place in us? What does he have to do for us? And he all of his teaching is constantly unpacking that he is the king, that he has come to bring people into his kingdom and to create them and to make them into something new. And so he begins this discussion laying out these blessings, a radical new kind of blessing that the world is not used to hearing. A new way of understanding about this is what it looks like when you are blessed by God. It's not health and wealth and prosperity. It's not all the things the world says. These show that you are blessed. Sorry, as my microphone falls apart. But it's those who are encountering Christ and transformed by Christ. And so we start out here today in this third beatitude. Matthew 5:5, and he says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The most important question I can ask and ask for us to think about here today is this, is what does this beatitude have to do with God? What does this beatitude have to do with our God? It's a huge question. What does meekness have to do with our Lord and Savior? And therefore, what does it have to do with us? So right after this Beatitudes, Jesus will begin going deeper into the Sermon on the Mount. And he will say this in John chapter 5, verse 16. He says, just a few verses down, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. That's a huge thing. The things that he's talking about these blessings, this new creation, this new type of people who will live and function in this way. He says, let your light, let who you now are in Christ shine. And may it give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So meekness has the ability for us to glorify God. Meekness in itself is an overflow of who God is. It magnifies God. But meekness is not something we're used to talking about. Matter of fact, it's a word that I'm sure all of you use all the time in your vocabulary, right? I mean, everybody talks about that meek person they know or what meekness is. It's an old word. It's a word that we don't use in our English regularly. It's a term, and it's a powerful term. We struggle translating this term into the English language. We get parts of it. But it's a deep, powerful term. So how does this meekness, and I'm going to unpack it for us today, cause us to let the light and the glory of God shine. Like I said, everything in this Gospel of Matthew is talking about the kingdom of God. It's talking about what it means to be kingdom citizens. And so kingdom citizens, kingdom, he's talking about, is there are people who are blessed. Blessed are the meek. He said this about blessed are the poor in spirit, and blessed are those who mourn. Blessed. The word blessed, if you remember 2 weeks ago, I said, is something that is praiseworthy in your life. Something you should be excited about. Something you should rejoice about. Something you should say, wow, this is the action of God in my life. I am blessed that God is working in my life. And I can see it. So we started out a couple weeks ago in chapter 5, verse 3. And Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. That is the opposite of what the world thinks. Being poor in spirit, as we looked at, means you are spiritually bankrupt. You will realize there is nothing in your life that can bring you before God, that you have nothing in your bank account to make you right with God. And because you're aware of that, you can now bank in Him. You can now pull on His glory, in His righteousness, in His love, in His power in your life. You recognize there is nothing within you that can save you, nothing that can make you right with God, but God Himself. And that's the riches that you need. It's all that you need is Him. How blessed are you? And He says, for they are the people who will be eternal citizens of God's kingdom. That's a great promise. Eternally saved, eternally in His kingdom are those who see, I cannot do anything to make God, make myself right with God. I have to have God make me right. I have to ask for Him to pay my spiritual debt. I have to ask for Him to change me and transform me. I can't do this on my own. I'm too poor. Jesus says, when you recognize that in your life, you're blessed. That's not how our world thinks. Last week, Pastor Cody brought us into the second beatitude in 5 verse 4. It said, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And where mourning is any loss in our lives. Anything that in our lives we look and go, sin has affected us. Sin is keeping us from the glory of God. Sin has harmed me. I've been without God's blessing. The only people who can recognize that and start mourning over sin's effect in their life and death's effect in their life are those who are already citizens of the kingdom. Who look back and go, wow, look at all this kingdom I have. Look at all the blessing of God in my life. And then you look back and go, wow, have I been missing out? Wow, look at my friends who are hurting. Look at my family who are hurting. Look at those who are still being ravaged by sin. Look at my own life, how it has been ravaged and harmed by sin. You mourn what you've been doing in life and go, oh my gosh, wow, Lord. I'm so blessed to be in your kingdom because look at all the effects of sin in me and what it's done to me. How amazing that is to have our eyes open. And we do, just like in the heartbeat of our Lord, we mourn the effects of sin on people. Jesus standing over Israel in the Gospel of Luke chapter 19, it says that when He drew near the city, He wept over it. He cried over Israel, saying, would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that would make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. Jesus weeps over those who are not seeing the salvation. He weeps over their sin and sin's effect on their heart and on their lives. He weeps over it. And so when we mourn over sin's effect and the loss that we have in our lives, what happens? Our heart beats with the heartbeat of Christ. What breaks His heart breaks our heart. His passion starts becoming our passion. That's the heart of a new creation. That's the heart of a new person. And Jesus says, you are blessed. for one day you will find comfort. Comfort in me. I will comfort you. Rejoice because the kingdom of God is at hand. Rejoice that I'm bringing you into the comfort. Rejoice because I'm bringing you into my peace. Rejoice that you don't have to stay in that state of mourning because I am setting your eyes and your trajectory of your life on a brand new thing. I'm making you into something new. A new creation. A new kingdom citizen. How blessed are we when our heart beats with the heartbeat of God. So now we get into this third beatitude. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Like I said, meek is not a word that we're used to. Many times when I think of the word meek, I think of like a little mouse. Just scurrying around, scared, afraid to be stepped on, pokes his head out, hides himself, kind of running around, timid, afraid, weak, easily crushed. That's what I think of when I hear the word meek. The problem is, that is nowhere close to what it means. We associate meek because it sounds like what? Weak. It sounds like weak. And so when we hear blessed are the meek, nobody wants to sign up for that. But I hope this changes for you today. I hope that this is radically changes for you because this is a powerful gift God gives us. And so I'm looking forward to unpacking this for you so you can see it. Jesus says that the person is not blessed by God when they have all this strength in the world, when they can make things happen in their own ability, when they can do all these things, look how blessed they are, how awesome they are. No, that's not what he says. That's what the world says a blessed person is. They can make much of themselves and show off how strong, or overcome problems, or endure things, and look who I am. But Jesus wants us to see something radically different. The Greek word here for that we translate as meek, is sometimes translated as gentle or humble, is the word praios. And it's an ancient word. It's a word that was used in the ancient Greek to describe a virtue in a king if he had this great ability to do. The modern English, like I said, we translate it as humble or gentle sometimes in our Bibles. But it is what it is an active gift of God in your life to completely depend and hold to the strength of God. The Apostle Paul includes it in his list of gifts of the Spirit. In the book of Galatians, chapter 5, says this: the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. The word gentleness there, that's meekness. Some of our translations actually don't put gentle, but put meekness, like the New American Standard. It is this word praios. Okay, it contains the concept of being gentle, not hard, not aggressive, but not weak. Meekness is a mindset. It's an attitude. It's a way of seeing yourself in the world and your relationship with God. And we want it to mature in us. It's a gift to us. Every single one of you has it. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ today, you already have this gift. I don't have to teach you how to gain it. It's already given to you by the Spirit of God. It is yours. What we want to do is foster it. What we want to do is value it. What we want to do is lean into it and pursue it and hunger more for it. Meekness is a godly response. Hear this. A godly response to conflict in your life. Especially conflict that you are unable to control. Conflict that you can't influence the outcome or the circumstances that are going on. Our emotions. Our emotions want to pull on us to respond to conflict. To respond to sin. To respond to pain. to respond to issues of that we would now fear or get angry about. Respond to conflict and be full of bitterness or anxiety and fear. All these different emotions that would want us to respond to areas of conflict. Areas in our lives that seem out of our control. Our emotions want to speak to us. And sin in our world wants to speak to us to respond with an emotional response. You ever notice that's all the news seems to do nowadays? They don't just present you facts, this is what's happening, and people are doing these things. There's an emotion they're trying to stir up in you of fear or anger or bitterness or wrath. They're trying to manipulate and move all of us. But the believer is blessed because they have a power that conquers that emotional anxiety. They have a power that they can cling to and hold to that strengthens them. It builds a foundation for them. It's something they can cling to and turn to so they're not turned rapidly and manipulated by this world and by sinful people. Not manipulated by politicians, not manipulated by media, not manipulated by circumstances. How easy the circumstances of our lives can control us. And Christ is saying, blessed are you because I have given you what you need so you will not be manipulated. You will not be steered falsely. I am giving you this thing called meekness. Meekness is, like I said, a godly response to the conflict that is going on in our lives. It's a virtue. It's a discerning power to be able to spot and understand what's happening and how to respond to it. It's a God-given awareness to realize you are stronger than what's going on when you surrender to the power of God, when you surrender to the will of God, when you surrender to the ways of God. This could be a pain issue in your life. This could be sin in your life that you keep habitually doing. This can be any kind of circumstances that feels out of control. Jesus gives us meekness to combat it, to deal with it. The author James, the apostle James, says in James chapter 1, verse 21, dealing with the battle of sin around him, says, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness, praos, the implanted word, which is able to save our souls. We cling to the word. The word is what helps us conquer the rampant sin of the world. We lean into the gospel. We lean into the power of the gospel. We hold on to it. It is what is able to save our souls, he says. The believer realizes they cannot make themselves right with God. They cannot stop sin on their own, but receives this with this weakness, this submission, the power of God's implanted word. Meekness means that you have an active and deliberate submission to trust in God. To trust in God during circumstances in your life where you are feeling out of control. When your walk with God reveals that you are not in control at all. You can't control the outcome. You can't control the circumstances. So it's an active submission to the true power that is in control. It's not you. Meekness is not a resignation of fate. It's not a passive, reluctant submissions as, oh, I just give up on this. No. Meekness is a form of wisdom. It's a discernment about life and about circumstances. And so you realize, I need to lean into God. I need to cling to God. I need to depend on God. Meekness is the wisdom to find victory and not trying to be in control at all, but submitting to the power and control of God. That's not something that our world wants. We like a Jesus that's, oh, he's saved me, but now I get to be in control of my life. Somehow I'm good enough and I'm going to make things happen in my own abilities. And Jesus is saying, no, I'm creating you into something new. Something where my power is going to be manifested in you and through you. When sin wants to wage war and control you, the power to resist that sin is found in me. When circumstances to be afraid and have all kinds of anxiety are waging war on you, Jesus says, I have given you the power to resist that anxiety and to stand strong and respond to these circumstances differently. That power is in me. The word praios here is used in the Greek language, and I think this will really help begin to submit this for you guys. It's used when they come to tame wild animals. Where they would use this to describe when they would capture a wild animal and bring it under and teach it and submit it so that it will obey its master. They used it quite a bit on the language that we refer to as a war horse. A horse that was bred and powerful and strong and could, just in its natural, wild, thoroughbred state, would just trample all over you. It's bred to be that way. That it would be charged into war and charge over soldiers. It would bust through lines. It would endure long marches and fast attack strides. It's this powerful, powerful, powerful animal. And praios is describing how it is brought under control of its master. So it doesn't lose power. It gains power by being under its master. So that the war horse is also the pony that the little girl comes up to and pets. Praios, this meekness. It's this strong fierceness that is brought under purposeful submission and control. I love the word bridled. It comes under this. So that the war horse that is dangerous may not be a danger. It speaks to our emotions when our emotions want to be wild and crazy and want to run in power. No, our emotions are given to us to have a purpose. But Christ wants to bring it all under his master's control. That our anger doesn't run amok with us. That our fear doesn't have a run amok with us. That our passions and our feelings don't take over us, but we are brought under and bridled. Jesus uses this exact term to describe himself. To describe himself and how we are to be in relationship with him. In Matthew 11, 28 through 30, Jesus says to his disciples, to you and I, he says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle, that's meek, and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. There it is. Those of you who are laboring in life, trying to make your marriage work, trying to make life work, trying to just raise kids or be a grandma, or you're aging and dealing with all these things that push on you and war on you, and you labor and labor. You're looking at your life going, I want to get my life right with God. I'm trying to figure out how to give my life to God and follow Christ and do all of this. And Jesus says, hey, you've got all this going on. Come to me. Stop. And you find rest in me. I'm going to put a bridle on you, a new way of thinking, a yoke upon you that causes you to learn from me. For I am gentle. I am yoked. I have submitted myself under the Father's will, and I'm calling you to submit yourself under me. Let me steer you. Let me guide you. My yoke, my bridle, My meekness is good for you. It gives peace to your soul in the chaos of the world. It gives strength to your heart when you're afraid. It gives you, when you want to respond in anger, gives you calm and clarity. It brings your emotions, brings your circumstances, brings your life under the influence and the leadership of our great master. You see, Jesus is fully powerful and he's fully in control. He is full power and yet completely gentle. He's the lion and the lamb. He is the lion of Judah and the lamb who takes away our sin. He is fierce and he is gentle. He is powered under control. He is fully submitted. He's fully God. Fully God. Think about this. And yet he says constantly, I'm here to do the will of who? The Father. I'm not here to on my own. I am on the Father's will. I only say not my words, but the Father's words. I came to bring and do the Father's will and accomplish the Father's will. Even when the crucifixion is standing in front of him, he cries out, Lord, if it's all possible, Father, take this burden from me. But then what does he respond? In meekness, not my will, but who? Your will be done. Jesus says, you want to learn the power of God in your life? To not be manipulated by what's going on in this world? Follow me. You take my yoke on you. You learn from me. Let me steer you. Let me guide you. Let me control this. Bring yourself under me. So I want to build that context for you guys here. And I want to take the next couple minutes and show you Jesus is quoting this text from the Psalms. In the Psalm 37, it gives this beautiful, you're going to see all this bridal language all of a sudden pop out, and it's going to just, I'm hoping it will just cement for you guys. Psalm 37:11 is where Jesus quotes this from, so I want to read it, and then I want to put it in its context. Psalm 37:11, Jesus says, but the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. Now, hear that. That's the promise to us. Now, let's see it in some of its context here. Starting in verse 7 of chapter 37, David, who is writing this, says this about God's people. Be still before the Lord. Wait for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil. Let's pause here for a second. Leave that up there for me, Chad. He says, be still before the Lord. That's a form of meekness. Waiting patiently for him. Not being full of fear and worry and fret. Over what? Over those who are living in sin and prospering. Who are harming you. Who are getting away with whatever they want. Who look like they've got the best life in this sinful, broken world. Jesus is saying through David, be still before the Lord. That's not a natural response. Wait patiently for who? For him. He will work this out. He is going to right the wrongs. He is at work in all that is going on. Do not be full of fear and fret and worry. Don't worry about all this. I've got you. That's an amazing thing to hear God say, I've got you. Verse 8, he says, refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. Let's stay there for a second, one more time. Refrain from anger. Because anger just leads to what? Sin. Anger is us trying to get control. When we are angry at a person, it's because we feel out of control. We feel less than, we feel weak, we feel like we can't control a circumstance or an issue, so we raise our voice. We get aggressive. We get violent. Why? Because we're trying to gain back control where we feel chaos. Forsake wrath. Wrath is you going out and pouring out your own judgment and justice on those who have wronged you. Jesus is saying, give up on that because you're not a good judge. You're not a righteous judge. You're not a holy judge. You don't understand how to bring wrath. But I, who am holy, will take care of all of this. Do not fret because it tends, it leads, it creates in you nothing but evil. Our worries and our anxieties produce in us a lack of trusting in our God. When you're full of fret and emotional anxieties, that means you're saying, God, you're not good enough to handle this, or you're unable to handle this, or you're not doing it well enough under my standards. And God's saying, let go of this. The meek person does this. Now, verse 9 and 10 here, I want to go through quickly here. For the evildoer shall be cut off. Wow. Those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. It's another part of that promise of the meek. And in verse 10, in just a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. God's saying, hey, you're going to go looking for those who you want to pour out wrath. What happened to all of them? God took care of it. That abuser, God took care of it. Whether he converted them and changed them or he dealt with them, God took care of it. To the sin and struggles that are going on around you, I want to have it. No, God took care of it. Where's all the pain and suffering? Oh, it's no longer because you are now in the new creation, the new earth, the new world. One day we will blink and we will move from this pain-filled life into the land and the earth that is promised us, the new world, the new kingdom. And we'll look and go, where's the evil that I'm used to? Oh, it's not here. It's not in this place. It's not with our God. So in verse 11, he says, but the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. So let me bring this home for us. Three little actions that we see in this psalm. Be still and wait patiently for him. That's meekness. Don't be full of fear and worry and fret. People who don't have that are showing meekness. Refrain from anger. That's meekness. There is a time and a place for anger. But anger is supposed to be a righteous act done under God's power, under God's timing, under God's will. It's a response, a proper response to evil. But evil people are not always good. Sinful people are not always good at judging when to show anger. Blessed are you when you are meek. So our take home is very simple. Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. We saw in Matthew 11:28. All who labor are heavy laden, and I will give you the rest your soul needs. Cling to me. Abide in me. Meekness is that Christ dependency for his power, in his ways, in his control. Let him steer you. Meekness is us constantly and every day coming before the Lord and saying, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. It's constantly coming and saying, Lord, I believe you are in control of these issues and this circumstance and this marriage and this family and these children and these finances and this health. I believe you are going to work all of this out, even though I'm afraid or I'm hurting or I'm struggling. I'm trusting and submitting to my master. Blessed are you. for you will inherit the new earth. These are the character people who our Lord will look at and say, well done, good and faithful servant. I am now placing you over leadership of my new kingdom. Well done. This is why it's such a high virtue for a king to have, for a leader to have. We don't have leaders like that anymore. We don't have a society like that anymore. But we are called to be a light that shines in this darkness. We are called to glorify the Lord by being people like this. And it's not something we create in ourselves. It's something He has given you and gifted you. And He now wants to continue to grow and mature in you if you're a child of God. That's amazing. We describe all of this to realize God is going to make this happen in you. Set your eyes on Him. Seek Him. And let Him grow you into this meek warhorse of His kingdom. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we come before you. We praise you. We thank you that your word reveals to us who you are in our lives. That your word reveals who we are in relationship to you. So Lord, may we be these meek people. Grow us into this person who shines with the light of Christ. Who shines with the passion of Christ. May we delight and draw close to you so we can be light in this dark world. So that we can make much of who you are. That you are powerful and gentle. That you are a God that we can trust in. A God who is in control. A God who is safe. May we be those kind of people who are humble, who are not asserting our power or our own strength, but may we be a people who cling to you, who depend on you, and who reveal who you are, Lord. Create in us this new spirit, this new heart. May we encounter this blessing. May we experience it here today, and may it shine like a light in this world. We pray and ask this in Jesus' name.